We're just going to get into some stuff. Tonight is like a different theme to what I normally speak on. You're getting more of what I've been meditating on the last, you know, couple of months tonight. You know, one thing we've got to know is where the bliss is in the season that we're in. Because sometimes the reason that you're not getting whacked is not because God's not wanting to meet you. It's just you're trying to meet him in the same place. And sometimes he wants to lead you into a new place of revelation. So one of the things you've got to learn to do as a wilderness wanderer is know how to dig your own well in your relationship with God, where you know how to make the wilderness bloom. So you never have a wilderness. What you have is a series of wells and of encounter. Yeah? And true spiritual authority, you know, Rick Joyner says this, will be in you to the degree that the Lord himself is your greatest encourager. You know, we've learned, Rachel and I, when we first left the mainstream church we were in, God said you were going to go into the wilderness. And I said to Rachel, oh, Rachel, you know, we're going to go into the wilderness and we're going to leave. And she was like, oh, I'm not sure about that. I'll have to hear from God. And we went to a conference in Telford that weekend. And a man walked up to Rachel in this prophetic thing and said, drink like a camel. You're going into the wilderness. So we learned the gimel is the camel hump in the Hebrew alphabet. The third heaven means the camel. It means that you've got your own water supply in the desert. It means you can go the distance. It means you are not fazed by the weather. You're not under the weather. You've got an internal well of water. You've got a hump. You've got your own supply. And you're steady. You're going to keep going from strength to strength and appear before God in Zion. It's an interesting thing with camels. Have you ever seen a camel try and run? Google it. It's hilarious. It's like their legs are flying everywhere. So some of us are not great at running, but we are great at perseverance. Perseverance is the Christian walk, where we learn to live in him and move in him and have our being in him beyond finances, sickness, or contradictions. The gospel is birthed from contradictions. It's birthed from the king being slain. The new creation came in the tomb. And we are the people of the contradiction. We are loved and regarded as kings, yet not known. How does one live in bliss when you live in contradictions? Because you live always dying, you live always in an environment that contradicts the oxygen of the life that you live. So how do you transcend? How do you become transcendent? How do you become someone, like you look at Rachel and I, we've persevered. You know, that's what Dr. Sharon Stone prophesied over us. She said, you know, you get the reward for perseverance because we have stood when others have fallen. I've stood when some greats have fallen on my side. People that I loved and admired, people who did walk through walls, people that did have glory outbreaks. Why are we still here? Why are we still able to stand in contradictions? It's because of union. It's a choice to live in union. That doesn't mean that you don't feel depression, but it means that there's a superseding. It doesn't mean that you're not ill, but there's a superseding. It doesn't mean that you don't feel the effects of age, but there's a superseding. There is a superseding gospel. There is a power that supersedes the temporal, physical contradictions. So, you know, Paul said, rejoice when you face trials of many kinds. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice. And again I say rejoice. How do we rejoice when we are the people of the dust? How do we rejoice when we are those that are born from another creation? and having to live with the contradictions of the world that we live in, when we know it's out of synergy, we know it's out of alignment, we see it in the education system, we see it all around us, in our bodies, how do we live? We live out of, and here we go, we're going to take a massive jump now, we're going to go to theological territory. Well, hey, we live off. And some of you have already come across this term, perichoresis. We are very theological. I don't know if you've realized that. The wine does produce theology. That's what people don't realize. You look at John Scotland when he came the other day, he's lining mysteries through theology. And people think that the wine is just like this dumb thing. It's not, it's wisdom's wine. It says wisdom prepares the wine. It's Yayin Mashach, and that means the wine that opens up your perceptions to reality. So Yayin always means about the eye. It's Yayin, the eye being opened. So the wine that she serves, Yayin Mashach, which is mixed wine, is the wine that opens your perceptions. Yee-hee! So perichoresis is the mystery of the oneness within the Trinity. It is the origin point and point zero, ground zero for ecstasy. It is a theological deep end of reality. It's what was before the beginning. It is what frames up your existence and the reason you exist. It is the thing that birthed the origin of your design and is the fruition and completion of your design. It is where you end and it is where you begin. It is what defines you, it's what fills you, and it's what gives you the oxygen you're breathing right now. The Aleph, Aleph, hey. Breathing out is hey, hey. Breathing in is Aleph. So we're breathing in Yahweh, Aleph, and we're breathing out wonder, Hebraically speaking. We're always engaging those two letters with every breath. Okay, so I'm going to just pray. Father, help us to get scandalized by the mystery and the beauty and the ecstasy that's in the gospel that is beyond. It's not a human message. It is not a human message. It is a message that transcends religion, transcends ethnicity, transcends gender, transcends geography, even transcends the cosmos. Woo, yeah. It does not originate with a human being. It originates in Yod Heh Vav Heh. So, Father, thank you. So, the Celtic saints understood perichoresis. Perichoresis is the sacred dance within the Trinity that creates reality. It is the perfection of three in one and one in three that in itself is love completely, and is so overflowing with ecstasy and joy that it has to create to release itself outwards in ever-increasing glory. It is what Jesus came to manifest, that we're hidden in the Trinity. Jesus reveals that we're in God before the beginning. He reveals the hidden truth that we are one. Now, the Celtic saints understood this. They didn't draw Jesus on a throne like the Romans who adopted Zeus. If you study the pictures you see in a lot of churches, all they've done is literally photoshopped Jesus over the top of Zeus. Tons of things we have, like the fish hats, the shepherd's crook, all that was to do with Zeus and paganism. The fish god, the halo was Zeus, the big man on the throne with the beard, Zeus. Zeus temples, they just assimilated it and Christianized it. But there was a group of people on these wild islands that understood from the very beginning, earth, wind, stars, sky, sea, waves, animals were all evolved in a sacred tapestry, a unity with ecstasy, a unity with God. And they understood this. And, you know, Patrick wrote this. He said, I arise today through a mighty strength, through the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the creator of creation. I arise today. That is Trinitarian prayer. That is the prayer that invokes the power of the three in one and the one in three. It is the power that needs no permission, needs no commission, needs no apology, can take down nations, shape generations, change the outcome of nations. based in that origin is how Paul and the disciples could all be executed, strung up, how people like Isaiah could be strung in two, how Enoch could go back into Eden, was the union with this sacred dance, this sacred oneness, the three in oneness, and the one in three. Janine's written a song, we're going to sing it at the end, and it goes, everything starts in you, everything ends in you, one body in time and space, within us heaven's gates. Everything starts in you. That is the Trinitarian song. Everything ends with you, one body through time and space. When we get the revelation of oneness, it supersedes everything. If you can get the revelation, you will join Brother Lawrence. You will join Catherine of Siena. You will join Teresa of Avila, for they all preach the singular truth that I'm in him and he's in me. There lies the key of ecstasy. There lies the key of union and joy, unspeakable and full of glory, that we are not generating joy. We are not creating joy. We are participating. Participating in this worship already happening in the Trinity, accepted in God's unity. See, we're joining in something that's cosmic and celestial. And everything starts in you, everything ends in you. It says, in the beginning, Elohim, which is plural. Bereshit, bara, Elohim. In the beginning, Bara created Elohim, the Aleph Tav, the heavens and the earth. So we have this amazing secret that we have this being, and in Hebrew that you have the thing called the Aleph, which is the first letter. But remember, they're not letters, they have meanings, right? The Aleph is the number one because it's the first letter, the one. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Aleph means the leader, the master, the singular source of all creation, who is above and above everything, beyond everything. But one of the mysteries that the Jews did not understand, but you know, is that it was made of three. And they acknowledge this, that there's three in one. They just don't understand it. So you've got a yod, which is 10, a vav, which is 6, and another yod, which is 10, which makes 26, which makes the name of God, because that's the maths for the name of God, yod, hey, vav, hey. So the Lord our God is one, and to be yod, hey, vav, hey, he's three. This is something that Jews have not got. This is something that you have got, that they haven't got, that they've understood that Aleph, the letter Aleph, is made of three. And it adds up to yod hey vav hey, but how can God be one? The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Yeah! Yod hey vav hey. Yod hey vav hey, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. See, the vav is the number of man. It's the number of man, which is God, Jesus, is what hooks you into the Father and allows the Spirit to come into the earth. So he is the join between the upper and the lower realms. He is the man who is called the bridge or the way. And he sits in the middle of God's name as the Vav, because the Vav is the letter of hooking up to a higher reality. It is a yod pulling down into another world, into earth. So Jesus sits in the middle of the name of God as the bridge, and you're the bridge now in him. To put it another way, as he is, so are you. You've become the gateway technology between the Father manifesting the Son, manifesting the Holy Spirit into creation in God. Come on. And you don't need anyone else for this, because you've become one with everything in him. For he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. As he is, so are you in this world. There is now no separation, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are actually in the name of God. So in the name of God, you know, you've got the lion, ox, man, eagle. You sit right in the middle of God's name. In him you live, in him you move, in him you have your being. Point one. Oh, dear, dear, dear. Oh. Okay. Is everybody okay? I'm going to pray again because I don't want to lose people. I don't want you to switch off. Because you have to like live off God's energy. Don't try and live off the energy. He is not high enough energy for you. You're a high energy frequency being. You're a high frequency energy being. And we got to learn to live off divine energy, the strength of God, the spirit of might. I know that's hard because we're used to being human, but if anyone's in Christ, he's beyond human. All right. So I love it. In the beginning, Bereshit, bara Elohim et hamaya shahayim va et haharet. So in the beginning, God created. And this is how God is. I want you to imagine God, because when we get this, the Bible in the beginning, there's a story that's happened before. So we don't get the beginning. We've got in the beginning, but there's a before, because that's the start of the beginning. In the before is God. In the before is your origin. See if you can get this, all the temporal stuff, aging, death, fear of death, sickness, disease, cancer, depression, all is momentary afflictions. Momentary. They are just drops. They are just glimpses that you, it says that he thought about you and he knew you and predestined you before he said Bereshit, which is in the beginning. That's how old the record of your life actually is. That's how old the strength of God and will towards you, working towards his pleasure, that he will complete what he started in you. A cosmic, transdimensional, beyond time and space adventure of perichoresis where you enter into the sacred dance. So this is what the commentator Adam Clark says about God. He who is absolute in dominion. Oh, by the way, in the name of God is half female, half male, when you look at the letters. And you find this always. Holy Spirit, other than four references, is mentioned as female. It says we're born from the womb of the Spirit. Talks about the Spirit brooding over the waters. So remember, when God made us in his image, male and female, he created them, is because God's name represents male and female. So there's a mother heart of God and a father heart of God, all in him. Some of the Hebrew letters you'll study, you'll find they're like the womb. Like the letter Tet is a womb. It's the place of being in a womb, being concealed, protected, and nurtured. And that's the letter I'm enjoying at the moment, because I'm in a hidden season. And I'm in the womb. I'm in the Tet. I'm in the overshadowing, the basket, the enfolding, where I'm nurtured and mothered to become more than I am. So it says, he who is absolute in dominion, the most pure, the most simple. That's crazy. How can he be the most simple and the most spiritual of all essences? This is Adam Clark. True and holy, the cause of all being, the upholder of all things, infinitely happy because infinitely perfect and eternally self-sufficient, illimitable in his immensity, inconceivable in his mode of existence and indescribable in his essence, who from his infinite goodness can do nothing but what is eternally just, right and kind. That is the beginning. So from the Aleph, the first letter, what's the second letter? Bet. And what is Bet? It's a house. It means a house or a family. So God, this perfect being in absolute wonderment, his first act was to create a family. This is what bet means. A house. It means home. And it means to be in. So from the very beginning, the cosmos was birthed out of family, inclusion, house, home, being in. So you don't see the letter Aleph start in the Hebrew, the Bible, because that was in another dimension. So before, then it says in the beginning, Bereshit. So you were in him before the beginning in here, but here he created a space. Now the Hebrews say that when you study the mystical side, they say God was so thick with light and so dense with glory that in order to make the cosmos, he had to withdraw some of himself to make a hole inside of himself. And that's the cosmos. That there with all the stars and galaxies is a space that God's pulled some of his existence out of to make room for you. So in him, we literally live. So listen, within this Godhead, this God being, we have these three beings constantly entangling within a dance of love. Entangling into each other, they are love. For to have love, there has to be community. To have love, there has to be community. Within God, and you even see it in the Yod Hey Vav Hey. Yod represents God, that tiny dot, but even the Jews say it's made up of three parts, 1, 2, 3, and they don't understand that, because they keep finding this number three is everywhere, and the Yod is in every Hebrew letter. There isn't a single Hebrew letter that's not made out of the Yod. All 22 have got a Yod in them. So the three is in everything. The little dot, the three, is in everything. And when you breathe, you're going, Aleph, Aleph. It's the sound of you breathing in. You are proclaiming the name of Yod Heh Vav Heh with every breath. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The first sound a baby makes is Aleph. And Hey. A rather loud Hey. Because remember, Hey means be disturbed with wonder. I've arrived. So the baby goes, ah! Be disturbed. I have arrived. Ah! Look in wonder and see God. Look in wonder. God is here. Because a baby is a manifestation of the Aleph coming into this dimension. Born from another world, formed from a sacred scroll, born from the burning flame of desire. So within this Trinity, this sacred dance, we have this word perichoresis, and the word perichoresis means this. It means kora, a noun which means space, and the verb form, korin, which means to make space, and peri, which means around in like a swirling dance. So it's three beings making space to swirl around in a dance, but it's not just them dancing separately. It means this: such is the fellowship in the Godhead that the Father and Son not only embrace each other, but they also enter into each other. And people who've seen the throne, that have had real experiences where they've been taken up, I mean, like where their face glowed, where they were in heaven, right? Where they literally come out of heaven with their face shining, right? That they saw this. They saw the Father like an emanating being of light, and Jesus would go back in this dance, in this manifestation, the begotten. The begotten means singular genome, only from origin of one. So the Godhead is permeating each other. They dwell in each other, one in being. They're also always one in the intimacy of their friendship. So it's a wonderful friendship. It's a sacred dance. It's a sacred ecstasy. It's a sacred romance. It's the fellowship of three co-equal beings, perfectly embraced in love, honor, and harmony, expressing an intimacy that no one can humanly comprehend. God is not just the dancer, God is the dance. So the Celtic saints knew about this. In fact, our logo for Company Burning Hearts is perichoresis. It's three hearts. I don't know if I can draw it right now. It's three hearts entangled, something like that, with a circle. We're actually following in the Trinitarian shape of the fathers used to have these kind of like three. That's not a very good Celtic knot. Just imagine something like that. Entanglement. Yeah. Okay. Entanglement. We're an entangled community. We're an entangled community into ecstasy. When God started to create, then he began to create a house called the theater of his glory. And in the first, you know, he began to create the seven. The seven and the three, which is 10, which is the yod again. The number 10. The seven spirits. And yet, isn't the spirit one? It all depends on how you look at it. Because if you join the dots, they are one. So what you see again, you see multiplicity and yet many facets. What you see is oneness. You see one candle, or do you see seven spirits? Do you see one being, or do you see God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? 24 elders all joined around the throne. A canopy of angels called choirs of angels, all forming an ever-expanding ball of energy. Light and ecstasy called pure joy. Or to call it what Paul calls it, unspeakable. Wow! The mystery of the gospel is that this is inside you. This is inside you. This is a description of one who knows that they are saved. This is a description of one who has been permanently united into the likeness of his life. This is a description of one who has been co-crucified with Christ, co-buried, and is now living in a co-life. This is the burning flame that walks through the wilderness. This is the man on the front of my book company, Beyond Human. Beyond human, for if anyone be in Christ, he is kainos. He is a new creature. He's a new creature. He is worlds within worlds, wheels within wheels. He is the gate of heaven. She is the gate of heaven. She is the one that contains the mystic secret of God, which is Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Christ in you. The mystery now revealed that God is in you and you are in God. Stolen, he took you, all of humanity. I consider everyone as having died in him, Paul said. He swept us back to where we were always from. Woo! I'm doing really well tonight. I'm introducing theology. Perichoresis is a love dance. See, perichoresis. I may not even be saying it right. I think I am. So C.S. Lewis said this, playing, art, and dance are considered truancy here. And he said the reason they're considered truancy or trivial is because they are not from here. Play, art, and dance are the most serious business of heaven. See, wisdom says, played with God at the beginning. She created from the beginning. See, changing the earth is meant to be a play project. Changing the cosmos is a play project. It's an art project. And it's the life of Aleph moving through each and every one of us. Yes, some of us are conscious, but many are unconsciously producing. Because even they live in him. Even they move in him. Even they breathe Aleph and release Hey every day. Every body is sustained and filled. The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is the garbage dumps, the brothels, the homeless projects are full of his glory. We are the people of enlightenment that say, open, be lifted up, see, behold, lo, your God has come. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. He has come. He has come and brought us into something. He has brought us into something that's greater than depression, greater than diabetes, greater than aging, greater than your bank account. Yes. He's brought you into something that's a burning, 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 burning heart, a burning, the living heart of God is a consuming fire of love. It's a possession love, an aggressive love. It's a love that will have what it wants, will take what it wants, will possess what it wants. It is gentle in the way that it does it, but it will prevail. A flame doesn't have to be crazy to take over the house. It just has to be persistent. See, one of the signs I'm looking for is the restoration of ecstatic dance. I've been preaching this, I'm not rich. I've said it all over the world. I've probably said it in like 17 nations or something. That one of the signs I know of David's tent is just this, becoming here. David's tent is perichoresis, this sacred dance. This holy trinity moving in ecstasy with humans and in them. See, coming out of the faces of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, you appear, disappear in the sacred dance, in the ecstasy, in this woven, into this tapestry, joining in with all the saints throughout creation. Patrick's dancing in now. David's dancing in it right now. Moses is dancing in it right now. And they are inviting us. They are inviting the world to join. Animals, join. Let everything that has breath, join. Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. And I'm looking for the sign of the ecstasies. I'm looking for the sign. See, this has to become an ecstasy because he is ecstasy. He is joy. That's in the face of sickness, in the face of disease. We ignore the contradiction. We ignore it. I face contradictions daily. But my contradictions will not define me. Loneliness cannot define me. Isolation. All separation is a lie. All separation is an illusion. We are one. We are one. We are one. One new man, one in this body, one in spirit. Aleph has come, the one. Aleph. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. Thank you, Lord. And we live in this. We move. This is what made Paul able to pull down empires. This is what gave Patrick the courage to be a shepherd boy that landed on the shores of Ireland and took down pagan kings. This is the anointing that caused Evan Roberts to believe that if he just kept going, he would see God's glory. He would see God's glory across Cymru. And he would lock those young people in that room. And he knew there was a God. He said he was taken up for 3 months and saw the very face of God. Courage comes from the flame. Courage comes from entering the sacred dance. Courage comes from play. Thank you, Father. The Dominican monk Eckhart said, the Father laughs at the Son, and the Son at the Father, and the laughing brings forth pleasure, and the pleasure brings forth joy, and the joy brings forth love. So we live in the outflowing love realm. See, people who call this dark, it's their perceptions that's dark, because we're in the outflowing love realm. We're in the theater of glory. We're in the outraying of his glory into creation, where the dance is expanding and he creates the bait, which is to the theater of his glory. Professor James Torrance said this, in the triune God of grace who created this world, he created this world to be the theater of his glory and us as men and women to participate in the very life of God. That we too might find our true being in intimate communion with him and with one another. Yeah, come on. We are one. I told you recently someone got in touch in the music industry and I waited for like a month to reply and the Lord said, tell them the future will be defined by oneness. Yeah. It will be defined by oneness. One nation, one people, one voice, with one mind, with one heart, with one soul. Brexit can't unify humanity. The United Nations can't unify humanity. But Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh has unified us and will finish what he's begun in this human species. Yeah, come on. Oh, It's moments like now when there's contradictions of Brexit, contradictions of how the government just this week, you know, was called into contempt of Parliament. We face contradictions, but there's a superseding yod, hey, vav, hey, yod, going constantly in every fiber of my being and in their being and in the chairs they're sitting on and in everything that sustains us. It's got Aleph Tav, the faithful witness, the faithful witness. He is the faithful witness and ruler of the kings of the earth. That's what it says in Scripture. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness and the ruler of the kings of the earth, who has overcome and become the first witness of another creation. Wow! These are just not nice messages. This is the substance. This is the food I live off. Oh. And in this, he planned it before. Baxter Kruger, he's coming to Bristol next year. He says this: before we were born, before creation was born, before we did anything right or wrong, God the Father determined that we would be brought into union with him and made full participants in his life and glory. This is the staggering plan in the Father heart from all of eternity. Out of the womb of his glorious purpose, creation was birthed, and we were given existence, and unto this end we are sustained. Oh. Woo. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're included in participating in the happening within the Trinity. We're in Christ Jesus. We're in Christ. It's a wonderful dance. It's a wonderful dance. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're included in. See, I've realized God's number one call on your life and mine is to be his friend. Not to be a worker. You're not a servant. You're not a worker. You're his friend. One of the contradictions I faced when I left working in the bank was that God was going to pay me to be his friend. For the first year, I was thinking, shouldn't I be going to work right now? Shouldn't I be praying? Shouldn't I be doing this? And eventually I learned, like I do today. I sat in the chair for hours today. No activity, really. Waiting. There was quite a few cookies eaten today. For those who look at Facebook, I put a video out. It was deep, deep theological truth. It's had thousands of views, many comments and cheers. I showed them the cookie jar in my basement. Oh. The mystic Catherine, I'm almost done, guys. The mystic Catherine of Siena said this, Catherine of Siena. And she was a young girl. Do you know, she had like kings and priests and the Pope come to her for advice as a young girl. She encountered Yod Heh Vav Heh when she was 5 or 6. Saw God standing with Gabriel and the disciples. And she said, no one's going to marry me. She cut her hair so that no one would do it. There are beautiful paintings of her cutting her lovely, beautiful hair. She was very pretty, but she said, no man will marry me now. You know, Jeanne Goyon, she was attractive, so she even prayed that she would get ill. And she caught this pox thing that scarred her whole face so that men would stop flirting with her. I'm not saying you should do that, by the way. But she writes in a journal, I was glad when my face was scarred. See, it's all about perspective. It's all about that Yod Hei Vav Hei, the oneness of his love that transcends the tyranny of the temporary. I've said to the Lord, yeah, I can work at McDonald's. I can go back to doing this. I can do that because I'm free, because I have everything I need. Rachel and I have always lived with the temporary nature of ministry. People rise, people fall, but love remains. Love defines us all. Whether frail or in sickness or in health, we are one in marriage bliss with him. And no one can separate us from his love. Okay, I'm going to end it there. That was like half of the message. So maybe we'll go on to a series of this. Just want to pray. Put your hand on your heart. Father, my mind doesn't have to accept it or understand it, but my heart believes. My heart loves. And my heart burns. And my heart will never stop burning. For I am from you. I am in you. And I'm returning to you. In you I live. In you I move. In you I have my being. I am complete. In you. I am one with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Accepted in